Morning, everyone. Good to see you all this morning. Just a couple of things just before I get started. One is just to let you know that my mother is here. She's sitting in the back, right in front of Reverend Deke back there. She's sitting back there. I always tell you that just to give a little warning, and that is, if you're going to criticize my sermon or say that I'm not a good pastor, just look over your shoulder and make sure my mom's not standing near you if you're going to do that. The second thing I wanted to do was to welcome back some of our snowbirds. So Nibs and Jackie Sakamoto are back from Arizona and brought the sunshine with you. This week is supposed to be like in the 70s. And so Nibs and Jackie leave here every around October, November, and spend the winters in Arizona and are back here with us now. And so praising God for that. And then I did want to introduce some old friends who are here with us from the San Jose Wesley Church. And they are actually connected to this church through parents. And that is Dale and Mary Sasaki, who are from the San Jose Wesley Church. So when I was a seminarian, I was their youth director. I had both of their children in my youth group. And then I was an associate pastor at that church for 3 years before I moved to Southern California. So in essence, if you want to blame anybody for raising me, you can blame them for the way I am a pastor. But Mary, the wife, Mary, is the daughter of Al and Tazu Shimoguchi. So for those of you who have been a part of this church for a long time, you'll remember Tazu as a part of the Tuesday Ladies. And Al and Tazu were a part of kind of snowbirding themselves. I met them in San Jose Wesley Church, but they would come back up here and were a part of this community. So I know that Tazu was an active member of the Tuesday Ladies group, and so they'll have a chance to be together later on today. So praise God for that and welcome them to this time of worship. We are on the third week of a sermon series that is about what I've described to you as the Commission on the Way Forward. In the general United Methodist Church, there's a group of folks called the Commission on the Way Forward. The Commission on the Way Forward is dealing with issues related to human sexuality, and especially about the issue related to inclusion of LGBTQ persons. The first week we got together, I spent a long time kind of giving you background about how the commission was formed and what the commission's task is and how they've been working together for about a year and a half. Last Sunday, Reverend Dion talked a little bit more in depth about where the church is on this issue of human sexuality and how it is that the church is wrestling through some challenges with this. Really, in essence, this has been an issue that has been a part of the United Methodist Church's struggle since the 1970s. This has been a part of the Book of Discipline. The Book of Discipline is basically the law book, the guidebook that guides churches in the ways that they organize their ministry. Since 1972, there have been codicils in the Book of Discipline that have basically made LGBTQ persons feel on the outside of the church. And so we're really wrestling now with this issue of how does the church manage this issue of human sexuality and how do we deal with it. And so Reverend Dion kind of painted that picture for us last week. And today I want to try to get into it a little bit more deeply to talk a little bit about what I think really is the crux of the matter or the issue itself that is being dealt with by the Commission on the Way Forward, and it's part of the sermon title. Are we on the road to unity or unanimity? And I think that really is at the heart of what this question is about. Do we want to be a church that is able to express itself with a unity amidst the great diversity of who we are in terms of theologies and cultures and traditions and languages? Or are we wanting a church that is more of one mind? That we practice the faith the same, that we believe the same, that we act the same, and that in many ways our cultures and our traditions and our way of thinking about our experiences are set aside so that we might come together around a set of beliefs. I think there is a part of the church that says that we want to be the kind of church that has a theology that is a box in which everyone fits inside of it. But I think there are other parts of the church that say we want to be able to express the very great diversity of our own experiences and how they inform and affect our way of thinking about God, our way of believing in God, the things that we practice in our faith, the way that we engage in that faith in our life journey, and recognize that it is all of those experiences and all of that context that gives our faith shape. It enables us to both hear and see and understand God, but also to inform how we practice this faith. And so I think at heart that's a lot of the question that is being asked by the Commission on the Way Forward is, can we be a church that finds itself united even in the midst of a great diversity, or do we have a church that is seeking after what I would call one mind around one box that everyone fits in, that we all believe and practice faith the same way? I think that's the question that Paul is addressing in the passage from Galatians this morning. It's a passage that is very well known to us, and it's a passage in which Paul makes a very strong statement about how it is that we practice faith. The basic question that's being addressed in the scripture passage from Galatians is, how much do Gentiles have to act like Jews in order to come around the table to be a part of the fellowship? The Jews say, we came to this place because of the law. We are a part of the chosen ones of Israel. We are those who are a part of the Abrahamic covenant. We are children of Abraham. And so we are part of the chosen few. The Gentiles, they are not. They do not observe the law. They do not understand our culture. So we need to bring them into the fold by making them act like Jews and set aside their own culture so that they might come around the table of fellowship. And Paul disputes that way of thinking. And what Paul says is, we needed the law at one time before the Messiah, because it is the law that helps to prepare us for the coming of the Messiah. But when the Messiah comes, we recognize that when it comes to the law, none of us can stand before Christ. And instead, what we do then is recognize that it is faith that enables us to come to stand before Jesus. And it is all of us as people who can come to that place where we would express the faith in our own culture. And so Paul uses this phrase, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. In many ways, that is an expression of the fact that what Paul is articulating is the idea that when we come into Christ, it is our belief that it is Christ's action to us that makes us acceptable. Not that we follow the law, not that we are obedient, not that we are inside or outside, not that we are a part of the Abrahamic covenant alone. We come to the cross knowing that it is Jesus and his love and sacrifice for us that enables us to be worthy to stand at table in fellowship. So I think there are two things that Paul is saying in this passage. One, he's saying, is that we as people set aside those things that make us unique so that we might come to the table around the fellowship and say that we are one in Christ. That what makes us unified is that we are all children of God. But what Paul is also saying in this passage is that when we come to the table, it is that uniqueness of culture and language and tradition and faith that enables us to sit around the table and articulate a way of expressing faith from our own perspective, our own experiences, our own stories, so that uniqueness is a very much a part of how we experience Christ, but also how we articulate that to others. And that it is important for us to come around the table and realize that each one of us has a story to share. And in that story, we have the ability to be in relationship with others that are very different than us, but do so in a way that enables us to share from the perspective of that story, that context, that culture, that language, that tradition. And so Paul is saying at the same time, we set aside all of that to come to the table, knowing that we are all welcome there. But when we arrive there, what we bring is our own story, our own particular experience of Christ, our own way of practicing faith, our own cultural traditions that we have woven into the faith. We bring those all together around the table and recognize that it is that uniqueness that is a gift for us who draw together as followers of Christ. So when he says we are neither Jew nor Greek or slave or free or male or female, he welcomes everybody to the table, knowing that they are all one in Christ Jesus. But when they come to the table, they are able to practice their faith as Jews and Gentiles, as men and women, as those who are slave and those who are free, that they can come to the table and know that they have a story to share that is unique to them, and that story is an important part of how they are drawn together into a community of faith. Now, as we describe it that way, the thing that's so powerful is as you look around this sanctuary, think a little bit about how this church has changed in 114 years. When the church started, it was started by Japanese immigrants, and so the language was Japanese. The people who worshiped together all came as Japanese immigrants, and their children were the first-generation folks born here in the United States, folks who began to speak English. But there was a very homogeneous group of people who came to gather around the name Seattle Japanese Methodist Episcopal Church. But if you look around the sanctuary now, what you recognize is such a great diversity in this room. While this church continues to articulate itself as historically Japanese American, we realize around all of the pews, if you look around at the richness in this room, you realize that it is the great diversity that is expressed here that enables us to come around the table and tell our story of faith from a very unique perspective. And it is that diversity that is a gift for this church. Diversity in culture, in tradition, in language, in story, differences in theology, differences in values and traditions and ideals. Those are all expressed in the richness that is in the pews right here of this church. And so if we were to think about it in that context, the question for us is, are we seeking after some sort of homogeneity where we all think alike, talk alike, act alike, practice alike, have the same faith? Or are we saying that it is the great diversity in this room that is an expression of who we are as a church, that is a rich part of who we can become? You all are a part of weaving the fabric of Blaine Memorial together from all of your own stories, from your context of faith and life in ministry, the ways that you have come to express and experience that faith through your own particular lenses. Those are a rich part of the gift that this church is. Now, beyond these walls, we would say the same thing about our United Methodist Church. Just up the hill, our sister church, the Beacon Methodist Church, who our youth were with last night in a youth group program. We recognize that they are, I think, 5 miles away from here, Dion told me. The church is right there. But we realize that their story is different than this church's story, and they practice their faith in very different ways. And yet, through the connectional system, we are brothers and sisters who can come to the table together. Even though we might come to practice and understand that faith differently, we can come to be together. Even in a great diversity, we can find unity in Jesus Christ and in our United Methodist denomination. We think about this city. We think about this state and realize that there is such a great diversity. Many of you know that the eastern part of Washington is very much more conservative theologically than the western part of this state. And yet we are all a part of this annual conference, and we all are a part of United Methodism. And so we seek not unanimity, but we seek unity and find a way to come to the table to tell our stories from our unique perspective and be able to share them in ways that engage and challenge the ways of moving us and shaping us. We tell our story to shape others. We listen to others' stories so they shape us and come to discover that as we speak about those stories, there is a way that we weave together a very a wonderful fabric of great diverse threads. And what a great gift that is. We think about this church and realize that that is the power of this question. As we think about how we can be together in all of this, we realize that it is that great diversity of theologies and ideals and values and culture and faith that enable us to experience the gift of what it is to be a community of Jesus Christ. I have a friend whose theology is very different than mine. I worked with him a few years ago, and he shares a wonderful story about his own life journey of faith. But when it comes to issues related to LGBTQ, and when it comes to issues related to how we practice Methodism, we are very different than one another. But what I appreciate about his story is that he finds himself in communities where he's being challenged on a daily basis to think about what that means for him. And I know that in many ways he is struggling as he continues to have his faith and his theology, interact with people who are very different than him. One of his best friends and one of a church member who was a part of the community that we served together had a son who had a couple who had two sons who were both gay. And I know that that for him was a great challenge because he needed to come to terms with what his theological beliefs were and his values were. And this person who was a part of his community, who for whom he was their pastor, how would he interact with them? How would he pastor to them? How would he care for them? And what I found was that he was able to do that in spite of the fact that his theology might not have come to the place where he could understand that and embrace that fully. But I think that was, for me, an expression of that same kind of diversity that I'm describing today. When we started to work together, it was very clear that he and I had a very different theology. And when he came in for his interview, he asked me the question, you know, Derek, why should I come to work here? You and I were very different. And my expression to him was just what I'm describing here, that as we work together, as we think about the ways that we are different, that we shape each other into a new understanding, that as you share your faith and your story and your context and your values, that it shapes me into a different person. But as you listen to my story and allow the way that I perceive this issue to shape your understanding, that we'll both grow from that interaction. And I wonder if that is ultimately what is at heart of this issue related to the commission on the way forward. Do we want to be a Methodist church that thinks only one way and sees everything exactly the same? Or do we want to allow ourselves to be open to dialoguing with others who are very different, knowing that sometimes it is that difference that challenges us to grow as people of faith? Many of you know how pearls are created inside of oysters, don't you? An oyster gets an irritant inside of it. Sometimes it's a grain of sand. And inside that oyster, it begins to form a nacre around that irritant. And it is from that relationship between the oyster and the irritant that a pearl is born. And I wonder sometimes, in our effort to be with like-minded people, in our effort to stay with our own kind, to be with those people whose theologies all agree with us, to be around folks who have the common values and common culture and common ideals, I wonder sometimes that we might think of ourselves like the oyster. And maybe it is when we put ourselves in situations where we're with people who are very different than us, who think very differently than us, who have different theologies than us, that that might serve as the beginning of a pearl that can be born from this interaction that we share with people whose perspectives are very different than our own, but in so doing come to understand that we grow together in faith because of that great diversity. I think that ultimately is the challenge of what the Commission on the Way Forward is doing, is are we trying to find ourselves practicing Methodism in the exact same way across the United States and across the world, or are we open to diversity in our United Methodist Church? The way that we practice our faith here in this church, it's very different than Methodist churches in the South and in the Midwest and in other parts of our country. And we practice it very differently than people who are Methodists in Africa and in the Philippines. And yet what we recognize that that great diversity, it's a gift for us if we receive it as such. If we're humble enough to be able to say that we don't know, if we're hungry enough to want to come to find a deeper truth in our interactions with people who are very different than us, if we find ourselves engaged in a dialogue with people whose story and experience is very different than our own, then I believe what will come from that is that we will grow in our faith. It may be that in talking to somebody who's very different than us, then we might find that we don't agree with that person at all about anything, and yet find that our strength and our faith and our understanding have been solidified because of the interaction with a person who we don't agree with. But maybe it would be that when we spoke to a person who's very different than us, that we would find a kernel of truth that would plant a seed inside of us and find that that kernel of truth would begin to grow in us as we allow ourselves to interact with people that are very different than us. I've told this story before about Barbara Brown Taylor, a famous pastor and preacher who was at a workshop one time, and the workshop person asked this question, you know, who is Christ for you? Who is a Christ figure for you? And people started to stand up to tell this story about a teacher who influenced them and a pastor who counseled them and a friend who cared for them. And then a woman stood up and raised her hand and she said, you know, I've been thinking about the context of your question, you know, and I think about it in a different way. There are so many people who have loved me and cared for me and shaped me, but when you ask me who is the Christ figure for me, I think about the question this way. Who is the person who says things to me that I so disagree with that I would want to kill them? And as you think about that, we recognize that sometimes it's going to be in sitting with people who are very different than us that we are going to find that our faith will be challenged and we will be able to grow in that. But if we want to be with only those people who are like-minded with us, if we want to experience faith only in certain ways, if we want to create a box that only we will be able to stay inside in, then I believe that that box will continue to grow smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until we have nothing left but only that which we hold on to desperately. But if we allow ourselves to open up in humility, if we say we hunger in faith and want to come to the place where we will go anywhere, we will talk to anybody, we will do anything to be able to come into an experience where I can know Christ more fully, where I can experience the gift of the Spirit more fully, and I can serve Christ more faithfully. If we hunger for that, then sometimes it's going to mean stepping outside of our comfort zones and talking to people who are very different than us. I think that's what Paul is encouraging us to do in the passage today. I wanted to tell you a story about a family that I pastored to in Southern California, a Nisei couple who had a child who married an African-American man. The mother was very accepting of this marriage, but the father was not. And so the father and the daughter's relationship became distant. The daughter continued to love and to encourage the father, but the father put up a strong wall saying, I don't approve of your husband, and I will not be in relationship with you. And then the daughter had a child, and that changed everything for him because he realized that this was his legacy, born from his own child. And what he started to realize was that the story that had led him to that place was driving a wall between himself and his daughter and his grandchild. But as he allowed his grandchild to come into his heart and come into his life, it broke that wall down and it changed his story so that his story would open up, that he might be able to accept his daughter, his African-American son-in-law, and their biracial child. That's the kind of dialogue that we are talking about that shapes a new story in us that allows us as children of God to come to experience the gift of faith and life with Christ in a powerful way when we open ourselves up in just that way. There's a movie on Netflix right now. It's called Come Sunday, and it's a story about a Pentecostal bishop named Carlton Pearson. It's a real person. Carlton Pearson's story is one that I did not know about until I had watched this Netflix movie. If you have Netflix, it's a really interesting movie to see. Carlton Pearson is a Pentecostal bishop who was rising in fame, large church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and was doing well as a pastor. And then one day he had a vision. And his vision was that he came to see and to believe that God was revealing to him a universal faith. And that while he had proclaimed all along that salvation was only through Jesus Christ, that he came to see that the atonement of Jesus Christ, it saved everyone. That there was no hell and that there was no need to believe in Christ because it was Christ that made us and connected us to God. And do you know what happened to him in his church? He was ostracized. People left his church. His colleagues deserted him. And every time they called to talk to him, what they called about was, we want to talk to you so we can correct you from the error of your ways. It was never, we want to talk to you so that we might hear your story. It was never, we want to understand how God is revealing this to you. It was never, we want to sit with you and hear how you came to this vision and talk together about how we might understand that place of faith. What they said was, we think that what you heard is not the voice of God, but the voice of the devil. What a powerful reminder it is to all of us that in many ways we have that tendency inside of us when things are different than what we experience, when we hear and see stories that contradict and conflict with our own understanding of faith. It's so easy for us to try to push that aside and say, that's not important. That's not who we are. That's not what we do. That's not how we practice. That's not how we believe. But maybe it is if we find ourselves engaging in the conversation that would enable us in that interaction to see the world in a different way, to stand in a different place, to observe faith through the eyes of somebody else, that we might find that we will all grow in this. As we tell our stories to shape others, as we receive other stories and allow them to shape us, that we come to discover the gift of God being woven together into a new fabric so that we might become fully children of God who hear the voice of God together and know that it leads us to the beginnings of a new day. And so as we continue to talk about the commission on the way forward, we continue to pray for our church. It may be that for you, you would prefer a church that is one of unanimity. But my prayer today is that we might hear in this as well the challenge to that. Can we be a united church even in the great diversity that is Methodism around the globe? I think that is ultimately what the Commission on the Way Forward is seeking to do, is to try to find a way to keep us together in unity and not challenge us each day to find a way to come around the table with people who are very different than us, that we might come to find the living Christ amongst us and be challenged to be the community that Christ has called us to be. As we continue to process that and think about that, my prayer is that we would open ourselves up to that very story as this church continues to interact with each other and with our world. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Loving God, we're grateful and thankful for the stories that make us who we are. We know, God, that you've given us that story for a powerful reason, that you remind us that you speak to us through our culture and through our traditions and through our experiences. And we know, God, that the uniqueness of that story, it has something that gives us something to share with others that would enable us to shape together a life of faith in community. We know, God, that that story, sometimes it bumps up against the stories of others. We know, God, that there are ways in which we practice faith that are different from the practices of others. There are others in our United Methodist circles who practice their life and faith very different than us. And yet, can we find a way to come around the table as children of God to live together in unity in the face of the great diversity that we have in this church? Our prayer, O God, this day is that you would enable us to hear the word that you have for us. Enable us to see, O God, the challenges of this road that we are on. And we pray, O God, that as we do so, that you would continue to open up for us experiences of you that shape us, that change us, that challenge us, and that move us forward in faith. And we pray that you would allow us to sit around the table with those who are very different than us, knowing that when we are able to engage those persons, that we would grow together in this understanding, they would grow together in our love for you, and that we would see the kingdom more clearly and all of the ways that it is being made known in this life. We pray, O God, that you'd be with us in this challenge. Open our eyes and our hearts and our ears to hear the word that you have for us. And we pray this day that as you open this up to us, that we might surely come to know you more fully, love you more completely, and serve you more faithfully in all things. We pray these things, O God, to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.